welcome to our service. If you're new here, you may be wondering who we are and what this church is all about. Well, the heart of the matter is this. We're a group of people doing our best to love God and love those around us. One of the ways we express this love is through worship, because our God is truly amazing. He created everything, great and small, and His love for us is incredible, powerful, and completely unconditional. We also spend time looking into His Word, the Bible, and receive practical teaching to guide us along His path in our everyday lives. But it doesn't end when the service is over. Throughout the week, we gather in groups to serve, pray, reach out to our community, and sometimes just to hang out and have fun. Life is full of challenges, and none of us are perfect. But we believe that's one of the reasons God has brought us together. We're all here to help and support each other through each step of life's journey, because nobody should have to travel alone. So thanks for joining us today. No matter who you are, we want you to know you are welcome.
Good morning, family. How are you feeling? Five people, and I want you to say you are blessing the Lord with your presence this morning. God is so blessed that you would come to the house of God and make it all about Him this morning. Amen. We can bless the Lord with our praise. We can bless the Lord with our worship. Amen. We're going to make it all about Him this morning, and I am just so excited. So we're going to pray, and then we're going to give God everything that we have. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you that you have just graced us with your presence already, God, that we have prepared to come to your house to give you our best. So right now, Jesus, we just make it all about you. God, we can't wait to praise you for all the wonderful things that you have done. You are a good God, and we recognize that. So we're going to praise you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. You ready to praise? Come on, let me see you clap.
Bless the Lord, Almighty One. Bless the Lord, you heavenly hosts. Bless the Lord, all you His angels. And let all the earth be His dominion.
Come on, sing.
Bless the Lord.
Bless the Lord.
Bless the Lord. weapon. My dance is a weapon. My dance is a weapon.
My dance is a weapon.
My shout 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 is a weapon.
My shout.
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 Come on, let me hear a mighty roar for Jesus. A weapon of warfare this morning. Hallelujah. Come on, use that weapon. Come on, use that weapon. Hallelujah.
Just one more time. Use that weapon real quick. Come on, just one more time. It says breakthrough gonna happen today. You're not gonna go home the same as you can. Come on, y'all. Use that weapon. Come on and fire it up. Now turn to your neighbor and say, man, God has been so good. Now you got to mean it now. Say, God has been so good. Now tell them why. Well, the craziest thing is I'm still alive, so that's probably why. I'm walking around, so that's probably why. I have the ability to worship my God, the one true God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, so if you truly believe, just sing this song with me.
Sing, Lord, you are good. You've been so good.
Come on and sing it.
Lord, you are good. You've been better than good. I can't praise you enough. I owe you my life. Can't praise you enough. Even if I
come on. You've been better than good to me.
So many doors you've opened, so many ways you've made.
Come on, so many times you've been better.
You've been better than good to me.
You've been better than good to me. Come on and testify. Turn to your neighbor and say he's been better than good to me.
He's been better than good to me.
He's been better. Come on, once you catch this, he will unleash you. You've been better than good to me.
You've
been better than good to me.
You've
healed my body over and over again. Come on, one more time. Sing. You've been better.
You've been better than good to me.
You've been better.
You've been better than good to me.
You've been better. And sing that.
You've been so good. You've been
so good.
So good.
You've been so good.
So good.
Sing, you've been so good. Just lift your hands and start talking to your Father. Let him know how good he's been. Let him know how grateful you are. Let him know that you'll pour out his praise forever. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, we will worship you forever. Lord God, we will give you glory. We'll give you honor forever. Hallelujah. You're amazing, God. You're great. You're such a great God. We love you, Jesus.
Great are you.
Sing that with everything you have. Sing it all.
And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry.
These bones will stand up and sing.
Thank you for the breath that's in our lungs, God. Lord, sometimes we forget that this is a new day. Yesterday we can't relive, we can't find back. God, it's gone, but this is the day. This is the day that we have and the opportunity we have to praise you. We have the opportunity to worship you. We have the opportunity to be used by you. God, we have the opportunity to enter into the very presence of God himself. Father, we refuse to allow this world's distractions to take us out of the greatest place that you have called us to be in, and that is where you are. So, Lord, today we just make a conscious choice that the breath that's in our lungs, we refuse to waste it today on just mumbling and grumbling and complaining and whining and moaning. God, we declare that we're going to lift your name up. We declare that you have put that breath in our lungs to give you the praise that's due your name. For you are an awesome God. And you're greatly to be praised. And we honor you this morning. And we love you and thank you for the blood that you shed on Calvary's tree, Jesus. We can't live without you, God. And we don't even want to. We thank you that today is a new day. Lord, I pray for those that are struggling. Lord, they've come to the house this morning. And maybe they're discouraged or hopeless. And I thank you, God, that the praise that comes out of their lungs this morning will set them free, God, just like Paul and Silas in the lower part of that prison. Break through for them, God, today in Jesus' name. Lord, we just want to thank you that you are ever present, ever caring, ever loving, and desire to bless your family. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Today we have a special day for you, doing something we've never done before. It's going to be a great opportunity for you to grow and be ministered to. Can you do me a favor? Can you go find five people you don't know, shake their hands this morning and say, it's the breath that's in my lung, I'm going to worship my God. Come on, go tell somebody, I'm going to worship God with the breath in my lungs. Come on now, go find somebody friendly, smile at them.
Good morning, His Tabernacle. It's time to head back to your seats and get ready for this morning's announcements.
Tabernacle, you know what I've always wondered? Why do we have Next Steps? Why do we have all of these classes? The reality is, if I want to make more money, I should learn new skills. If I want to learn how to treat people better, I should learn how to interact with people. Whatever I want a knowledge of to apply to my life, I need to learn it and I need to take actionable steps. And that's what we call Next Steps. Every single Tuesday night at 7 p.m., we have step one and two right here in Horseheads. Wednesday morning at 9 a.m. in Horseheads. Thursday nights at 6 o'clock in Ithaca, and 6 o'clock and 7 o'clock right here for all of the Next Steps class. For more information, you can go to histabernacle.com. We'd love to get you signed up, connected, and growing in your relationship with Christ. Hey, are you new here at His Tabernacle? We have a class just for you to help you get connected and learn more about our church. Every single Sunday, we have Growth Track that happens at 9:30 to 10:30 here at the Horseheads campus. Make sure you come out and discover what God can do through you.
His Tabernacle will be hosting a week of the supernatural. We will have with us evangelist Ted Shuttlesworth Jr. for 3 days of miracles, signs, and wonders. On May 19th, we'll have a morning service at 10 a.m. and an evening service at 6 p.m. Also, on May 20th and May 21st, we will have evening services at 7 p.m. You do not want to miss this week of the supernatural.
That was like the nicest transition we've ever had, ever. That was so good. I was just shocked by it. I had to remark. Good morning. Thank you for being at church today. Are you alive, excited, happy to be here? Come on, not very convincing. Are you happy to be here? Amen. We're happy to have you. And if this is your first time, I just want to say thank you for coming. Oftentimes, it can be a little bit scary. You don't know what you're getting yourself into, especially because we're not quite traditional. So thank you for taking that step, for coming out. And we just want to make sure that we give you a gift for being here. No strings attached. Don't worry. It doesn't mean you have to come back next week. We'd love you to. But if this is your first time, can you just shoot your hand up in the air for us? We want to give you a gift and invite you to guest reception after church where we have some coffee and you can ask questions. Make sure we're all on the same page. If you're watching live, thank you for watching. And we'd love for you to share. Let somebody know what's going on. Comment. Be interactive with us. Because we'd love to get the word out so people can know. We have another, awesome, yep, she's coming right behind you. Awesome, praise God. Will you put your hands together for our guests this morning? Great. Well, look, my first announcement is that the women's brunch is going to be on May 11th at 10 a.m. at the Hilton Garden Inn. And I believe there were only 16 tickets left yesterday. So if you want to go, this is one of the best things that the women's ministry does all year. People absolutely love it. If you want to bring your mom, bring your daughter, go with some of your friends, hurry up and buy your ticket before they're gone because it will sell out. It's only 22 an adult or 13 for a child, and we're not going to go much farther because those are going to sell. Also, the annual motorcycle blessing is May 25th. Awesome. Come on. This is so cool, Sid. I think last year there were over 100 motorcycles here, over 200 bikes here. And this is such a great thing we get to do for our community. It's part of the fabric of His Tabernacle. So if you'd like to be a part, if you'd like to participate, you can go ahead and reach out on Facebook or find Brad Garrett, and he'll give you some more information about it. But that will be May 25th, beginning at 8:30, and the proceeds will go to the Juvenile Diabetes Research Advocacy, and it's only $10 a person, which is going to be absolutely phenomenal. Now, on May 17th, and we have a lot going on in May, on May 17th, we're going to have an Uproar Partners Night. And what does that mean? What that is a night where you can come and figure out what we're doing with Uproar Conference, and we have the biggest announcement that we're ever going to make so far as of having a conference. And if you're interested in learning more about what we do with the youth, over 1,000 teenagers were there the last 2 years. If you're more interested in just some simple information, if you have partnered or would like to partner, basically it's an open invite for anybody and everybody with breath in their lungs that's interested in seeing this generation one to Jesus. And my last announcement is very easy. Tonight, if you're under the age of 30 and over the age of 18, we have Awaken Cinco de Mayo night. So you should definitely be here. It's going to be a phenomenal night. God's going to move, and you can make some great friends, awesome connections. But Cinco de Mayo night, and they start at 6 o'clock. Anybody like tacos? Man, I love tacos. If there's not tacos, I'm going to be offended. But it's great. We're going to transition right now our service into a time of offering. And we, like, there's a lot of taboo topics in church. And I don't think they need to be taboo because it's something we talk about, we focus on, and something that's very important. And to be honest, this month, pastors, said some very interesting things that most other people wouldn't say, and showing that it's not taboo here. And money's not taboo. It's what we work for. It's what we move our families for. It's what we give more of our time for. It's what we go to college for. And it's something that God cares about as well, because he wants his people to be blessed. He wants you to be successful. He wants you to be prosperous. And just as the same as salvation, just as the same as faith, just as the same as prayer, there's a process in which he set this up so that we can be successful in it. Giving is not bondage, as many people would see it. Giving is an opportunity to say, God, no, I trust you. I believe you. I know that all of this is yours and it's in your hands. And that's all this is this time of giving is saying, God, you gave me the ability to work all week. And I'm going to put this back in your hands. If you think about it, as a farmer, if we were to eat all of the corn that we harvested and never planted anymore, we would not be a farmer much longer. We'd be a one-crop kind of farm. And I don't want you to be a one-crop farm, and I know you don't want to be a one-crop farm, and I know God doesn't want that in your life either. So today, I'd encourage you to be faithful to God with your tithes and your offerings. And that's what we teach here, is tithes and offerings. Tithing is a simple 10%, a measly 10% to say, God, I trust you with my finances. I give it back to you. I believe in you. Then offering is above and beyond what the Lord has laid on our heart to go that extra step and see a return on what we've done. There's a verse I'd love to read real quick. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 10 to 11 says, for God who gives seed to the farmer to plant and later on good crops to harvest and eat, will give you more and more seed to plant and will make you to grow so you can give away more and more fruit from your harvest. Man, that's what God wants to do in your life today. But it starts with tithes and then it goes to offering. He wants to give you more and more fruit so we can do more and more for others. We can do more and more for the kingdom, and we can see more and more increase. So we can see our region won to Jesus. So we can see his kingdom come, his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen? Awesome. Today, I just want to encourage you, there's an envelope that's right on your seat. Also on the screens, we'll have text to give options. And you can go right online as well to histabernacle.com/give. And you can do that. But we're going to stand to our feet. We're going to make our supernatural declaration as we bring our tithes and our offerings to the front. We're a little bit different here. We bring them to the Lord because we believe it's part of our worship and it's part of our obedience to Christ. We go ahead and raise those envelopes up above your head as you make that commitment to Jesus, and Pastor Rhonda comes out with a supernatural blessing.
Okay, repeat after me. Deuteronomy 28, it says, if I obey, then I am blessed going in and I am blessed going out. I am blessed in my storehouse. Chase me down. They've tripped me up because I'm a child of God. I'm blessed. I'm blessed.
Praise the Lord. How many of you love Jesus this morning?
Amen. My staff has to give me notes because I never remember anything. Hey, buddy, how are you? You having a great day?
Good. It's good. It's important. He's good, man. He's just relaxing.
He got the Holy Ghost. Look at him, boy. Run.
We're excited because we have some amazing things happening. And this morning, we want to make sure we have more than enough time. But what we want to do before that is, how many of you know that we have a campus in Ithaca? Great things. In 8 months, God's taken that from 12 people on average right now, about 140 to 150 people every single week. It's the fastest growing church in the Ithaca region. And actually, almost one of the largest, scary, almost one of the largest churches in Ithaca already in just 8 months. It's amazing what God is doing. Every week, people are giving their hearts to Jesus, getting filled with the Holy Ghost, lives being changed, families being healed. We also, many of you do know and don't know, we have a church in St. John, New Brunswick, Canada. And pastor up there, we went up in November, Pastor Rhonda and I, there were 20 people, and now they're over 60 people already since November. They're already looking for a new building because they've outgrown it. We're excited also, we have another church in Kentucky, and that is where the Treadways, and that church is growing, and they're seeing people saved for the first time in like 2 years. They're starting to see people come in and get born again, and the church is starting to grow. Very exciting. We also, last week I made the announcement, we also had another pastor come to us in I don't even know the name of that, Motesville, that's what it is, right? Motesville, West Virginia. And the pastor said, will you please oversee us? We'd love to have his tabernacle's impartation to see God grow. And they last week, we're believing God to be a soul-winning church. Can I hear an amen? We also have a church in Campeche, Mexico. And I've got a great testimony. How many of you don't know, we had what was called the ministry house. And we're selling the ministry house. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me that every dime that comes in profit for that needs to be sent down to our church in Campeche, Mexico. Because that church is busting out and growing in an enormous manner to where they need to actually do an addition. As well as the state is bringing down, the government's bringing down a brand new highway. And it's going to take away all the parking. So we need to raise the church up to the second story, and all underneath will be all the parking. And for them, that's about $150,000 American. That's not a lot of money. But I've got great news, is that his tabernacle is going to be sending down at least $10,000 American, or about $1.8 million pesos, to be able to bless them and to encourage them and let them know that we believe in them right here in Horseheads, New York. Amen. We're also going to be bringing the pastor from there up here. We're going to bring him up here so you can meet him on Welcome Home Weekend. You're going to have a great time meeting Pastor from Mexico. As well as we have a new church in Puerto Rico. We have a church in Merida, Mexico, a church in Cancun, Mexico, and a church just south of Mexico City. God is growing his tabernacle. We're not just in a cornfield in Horseheads anymore. We're literally all over the hemisphere. Amen? God is moving in a great manner. On June 2nd, everybody say June 2nd, we have another launch happening, and that is our Mansfield campus. Pastor Dan and Pastor Jody, where are you? Pastor Sister Jody, come on. Up here. June 2nd, and that's exciting, and we've been saving for that, and we're finding that we're going to need some more finances, and so what we're going to do is show you where we're going to be this morning on June 2nd, the launch place. It's right off the highway, and God's blessed us with great blessing, and Pastor Dan and Sister Jody are going to be the pastors down there, and many of you are saying, but we're going to miss them. No, they're going to be here every Sunday morning for about 45 minutes, and then off they go to Mansfield until we go to two services. Because that means we've grown, amen? So we're believing God to grow the house down there and see a lot of souls saved, a lot of lives changed. There's not a church like his tabernacle there at all. And by the way, we've been preaching down there on the television on ABC for the last 5 years. They've been watching his tabernacle down there. Now they're going to be able to go there, amen? So we want to show you, if they'll show you a video of the building that we're going to be in.
His Tabernacle family, I am so excited to show you our new Mansfield campus. You know, family, we've been hearing it for so many years. We are called to be a regional church. But right here, we're reaching down into Pennsylvania now. This is our Mansfield campus. It is a temporary location, but this is where we're starting. So we want to show you what we have going on here.
That's the foyer. And there is an elevator, by the way. That's where we're going to be, June 2nd. I don't know about you, but man, that makes me happy. Man, people are already responding, excited, and we couldn't send a better couple down, amen? Pastor Dan and Sister Jody, they have the heart of the house. They know where God wants to take them. They move in the supernatural. He's a great preacher. And we have a full worship team going down. We have a full children's ministry going down. Security will be going down. We're going to have a full team going down every single week. If you'd like to participate and help Pastor Dan, you can just visit him, see him, and he'll let you know. But what we need to do this morning is I'm asking you, if God lays on your heart to sow towards the Mansfield University campus, we'd like to see a minimum of about $10,000 come in. It doesn't have to come in this morning, come in within the next few weeks. But that's going to allow us, we've saved as much as we could, and its sound systems are really expensive. I don't know if you know that or not. It's blowing me away. It's about $10,000 just for the right sound system to put in that building. And everything we're doing is transitional so that when we outgrow that building, we'll be able to take it to another building. Amen? I don't know about you. I'd love to either be able to buy a building down there at some point in time or build down there. I have no question that Pastor Dan and Sister Jody will have 100 souls there by Christmas time. Amen? I have no question. So in your seats, there's an envelope. And if you would like to sow towards the Mansfield campus, we'd like you to fill that out, or you can go right online, and some of you already do. You can go right online, and you can sow towards that. What do you mean sow? That means that you're investing. You are investing in the people from Mansfield University to be born again. There are a lot of people, many people don't know this. That used to be an epicenter, spiritual epicenter. I didn't know that until I sat with folks. That was a spiritual epicenter where they'd have literally tens of thousands of people would gather in Mansfield and have a worship service, have a great outpouring of God's Spirit. And then after years, it just dwindled off. Now the church is there. I'm not even exaggerating. Pastor Dan, help me. I don't want to be wrong. The church is there. If they run 50 to 100 people, that is considered large. Most of the churches right in town are all running under 25 to 30 people. They're really, spiritually, it's dying there. And I know that this is the time and this is the season that His Tabernacle is going to go down there and we're going to make that supernatural impact God has called us to make. Amen? So I just want to say, listen now, we are expanding. What does that mean? It's not that we are growing in a bad way. We are expanding to see more people born again, set free by the love and the power of Jesus. And if you'd like to sow into that, you can fill that out. And we're going to have offering bins. We're going to put them right in the back. Is that fair? And so if this is on your heart, you're not going to forget anyways. And if you'd like to give online, you can. So when you're walking out the doors, there'll be an offering bins in the back. Can I make sure the ushers have those already set up so that we don't forget them? And we have them all set up to where when you leave, you can sow it. You can put it right in there and say, God, I declare that souls will be saved, lives will be changed. God, I thank you for what you're going to do in Mansfield University and Mansfield Township and that whole region. We're also going to be reaching Wellsboro. There's a church down there that half of their church is spirit-filled. It's a non-spirit-filled church they're going to because there isn't one there. And I'm just excited that we're going to be able to provide a true spirit-filled, Holy Ghost-believing church in Mansfield that will touch Wellsboro, that will touch all the way. I know folks that travel an hour to church to come here from there. Amen. Ed and Shirley, they've been traveling. How many years have you been coming from Wellsboro? So over 9 years, they've been traveling one direction from Wellsboro to come to church every single Sunday. And they're here for morning prayer at 7:15 a.m. Amen?
Ed, you're 27, right? He's 27 years old. So I'm just excited. So make sure that you just write down on that piece of paper, Wellsboro, when you fill that out. The offering bins will be in the back. And if you don't have that, we're going to do another offering next week specifically for Wellsboro. And I'm believing God to raise all the money that we need. For what purpose? For lives to be changed. Listen, whether it's a dollar or whether God tells you to write a $5,000 check or a $10,000 check, whether it's a $25 check, it doesn't, amount's not the issue. Just obey God and all that needs to be taken care of. Amen. So, Father, we just speak blessing right now over all the seed that's going to be brought in from Mansfield. We thank you, God, that you are compelling us to see more lives transition for the glory of heaven. And, Lord, we declare in Jesus' name that you are going to change that region for your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Bless Pastor Dan. Bless the team that's going down. God, we're excited to see what you're going to do right there in Mansfield, Wellsboro, and that whole region for your glory in these last days. And everybody said amen. And we love you. Pastor Dan, can you give me a hand clap as you're getting ready? I'm so excited for you too. Are you excited? Are you nervous? Yes. Really, he's been so blessed to be here with us. So, amen. We're getting ready for the message. It's going to be very different today. Don't you love Pastor Dan? Sister Jody? Today's going to be very different. We're going to do a message that is not really a message. I have never done this before. But I know this in that this is the year of, come on now, this is the year of, we've been talking about next level relationships. And I don't know about you, I know that relationships struggle. How many of you have had a relationship that struggled? I'm not talking marriage, maybe with your parents, maybe with somebody at work. Relationships struggle. And I want you to know that God has answers for you. Many of you have sent in questions, and we're going to answer them. Let me tell you, these questions have been challenging. Wahoo! Some of you sent in questions we cannot deal with on a Sunday morning. Just want to let you know that. These questions we will handle on a YouTube Live. Is that fair? So keep your eyes open for the YouTube Live. My wife and I are going to answer a lot of those questions dealing with relationships. Some of them were just, wow. I mean, personally, I have no problem answering them, but I know that some of your hair would curl. You know, last week, when we spoke on what a man needs, some of you went into conniptions when we said the word sex. Didn't know what to do with yourself. You were in church, the word sex was used, and we almost had to send a defibrillator just for you. But I want you to know you're going to be all right, amen? I said you're going to be all right, amen? It's time for the church to stop skirting real issues. It's time for us to actually address what people are really sensing, feeling, and going through. And you have shared them in these questions. Now, we've asked the Banfields to be with us. Why have we asked the Banfields to be with us? Pastor Craig and his beautiful bride. Why? Well, because they have been married
47 years this year.
47 years. And they still like each other. He didn't say anything.
He was shaking his head.
Okay. Whew. And so my wife and I have been married 29 years in a little over a week, right? March 9th, May 19th. So we've married 29 years. And we just want to share some wisdom with you. Now, some of you are saying, well, I'm not married. This has nothing to do with me. No, this is we have single questions. We have married questions, and we have divorce questions. We have 16 of them. We have 4 minutes to answer each one. So pray.
So let's go.
My wife, did you hear her in the background? Let's go. You keep it up. All right, so we're going to ask. We're going to start going through the questions. Are you ready? The first question is, do we have a monitor? No, I wasn't sure. I wasn't sure. I've forgotten. So let me get to this. Here we go. First question. How do I deal with feeling like my spouse puts the children above me or our marriage? I'm going to sit down. Go ahead. Somebody grab that one.
Actually, Pastor, why don't you go ahead and start that? Because your answer is really great on that, and then we'll chime in.
Very good. I want to say this, is that... I did what I was...
This is an important one to him.
Did you see what I was told? I did what I was told. One of the great things about marriage is learning this, is that your children are leaving.
You hope.
Help us all. What I've always taught my children was, you're leaving, she's not. What I found is that most divorces that I've had to coach people through are in the 20 to 25 year range. And the reason for that is because they have, quote unquote, fallen out of love. Well, what's happened actually is they put their children above their relationship. And that's a serious issue. And that's why you don't fall out of love, you grow out of love. You can't fall in love or else you can fall out of love. You grow in love. And so what's happened is we have parents that have put so much into their children. I love my children. Listen, don't get me wrong. I love my children. I've given them everything they can get to be able to succeed. And I believe ultimately that's the job of a parent. The parent's job is to make your children successful, not to have them like you.
Yes, amen. Amen.
When my kids left, they had the tools to succeed. That was the goal. If they couldn't succeed when they left, then ultimately I was a failure. I don't care. In fact, I said it to them many times. I don't care if you like me or not. That's not what I'm here for. Amen. The problem is many parents in today's world, they put so much into their children, they no longer date each other. They no longer spend time with each other. They no longer are friends. The Bible says in the book of Ecclesiastes 4:12, a person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. Every relationship has to have three things, especially marriage, three things wrapped in it. Number one, it's called the filial kind of love, which is where we get our word Philadelphia. Moms and dads, you must remain friends.
Yes. Amen.
You can't remain friends if you're not dating. Some of you haven't laughed with each other for so many years. It's all about the kids. Thank God for the kids. They're leaving. You got to make sure that that person stays and that your love is matured. So that the first one is the filial love. You've got to be friends. You've got to spend time with each other. I'm telling you, if you've come to premarital counseling, you've heard this. You must date your wife once a week without the children. Amen. They're a tough crowd this morning, aren't they? Turn to someone, date your wife once a week with no children. That's right. That will keep your friendship together. You've got to be friends. You've got to laugh together, have fun together. My wife and I, you know, we've had some fun stuff. We throw things at each other. Now, she throws knives, but we won't get into that at all.
I throw water.
It's not strange. I remember the very first time my daughter-in-law, Jade, came to visit. She's very prim and proper. So we're sitting at the table, and my wife said something. And then, so I said something. And then all of a sudden, water is flying through the air. My wife threw water all over me sitting at the dining room table. Poor Jade is sitting there like this because she's so prim and proper. She didn't know what to do with herself. And then the war began. Let me tell you, the war began. And there's water all over the house. I mean, thank God for mops. But it's not strange in our house that you'll be in the shower and ketchup will come over the top or mustard will come over the top. Or one time she was sleeping. It was like 2:00 in the morning. And I pulled the sheets back and threw ice cold water all over her while she was laying in bed.
I do not recommend this, men. Please do not do. Do not do what Pastor does. You might not survive that, I promise.
Try it.
No, don't. Don't. Do not do it.
So we go date, you know, we date every week. We go to the movies. We go do something. You've got to do something. That's the first kind of love. The second kind of love is agape kind of love. That's a God kind of love. That's where you pray together, you do devotions together. And the third kind of love is called eros or sex. All three loves need to be active in your marriage for you to have a successful marriage. And if the children are before your spouse, those three will not be active in your life. And then all of a sudden, at 20 years, you're going to have to start all over again. Nothing worse than starting over from the beginning. Amen? Amen?
Ding, 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 ding,
ding, ding, ding, ding. Okay. Next question.
Question number two. We are married on paper, but live like roommates in person. It feels like we are living our separate lives, sleeping in separate bedrooms, and honestly, are only staying together for the children. It can easily happen when we get busy with life to just grow into this. I want to read a couple scriptures first. Ephesians 5:29, when it's talking about the marriage relationship and about a husband loving a wife, it says, "For no man ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and carefully protects and cherishes as Christ does the church." We have to nourish our relationships. It's the word of God. It's not just a recommendation from us. It's what the word of God says. If you don't take care of it, if you don't nourish it, it won't grow. It'll fall apart. Like a car, if you don't take care of and maintain that car, things are going to go wrong with the car. If you don't ever change the oil, now I'm terrible at taking care of my car and remembering oil changes and even to put gas in it. I definitely don't pay attention to the tires or the brakes or those kind of things. And that could lead to serious problems with your vehicle. And it's the same with our marriage relationships. If we're not nourishing and making maintenance on something that we've committed a covenant before God to maintain, then it's going to break down and it's not going to work for us. And the answer, the awesome part about this, even if you're living in this kind of relationship where you haven't maintained it, God is so incredible. He is called the resurrection, yes, and the life. He can resurrect even those things that are completely dead and gone. Just like with a car, if I've let that oil go and I haven't, when I make an oil change, there's going to be an immediate change to that car. If I put gas in that car, it's going to have an immediate effect, and now I'm going to be able to go further with my car. When I change the tires, it's an immediate effect. The same thing with our marriages. If you found yourself in this place, it is not dead and gone. It is not too late. It is absolutely salvageable. God will resurrect, but it takes us maintaining and nourishing. And no, it's not even both people have to do this. If one person puts some effort in, it will cause the other person to respond and react. God can restore even this, but it is our responsibility. He hasn't called us to live as roommates. I want to read one more scripture. I know the buzzer is going to go on me right now.
A minute and 10 seconds.
1 Corinthians 7:5. It says, "Do not refuse and deprive and defraud each other of your due marital rights, except perhaps by mutual consent for a time, so that you may devote yourselves to unhindered prayer." Mutual consent for a time, but afterwards resume quickly marital relations, lest Satan tempt you to sin through your lack of restraint of sexual desire. So even that portion of living like a roommate is against the word of God. He tells us that because of that three-stranded cord that needs to be present, the friendship, the sexual, God and the God kind, yeah, of love. All of that needs to be present. We cannot live married lives as roommates. It's a requirement to live according to the word of God and maintain that relationship.
Boy, she talks a lot. So I got a great book for you. If you've never purchased this book, it's a great book. If you're the man trying to reignite your wife, it's called 101 Great Nights of Romance by Laura Korn. Remember, romance is different from sex. Men love sex. Women need romance. They need intimacy. So, gentlemen, if you want to stoke the stove, you need to learn how to be intimate. Amen? You need to learn how to stoke the stove. You need to learn how to get things rocking and reeling. 101 Nights of Great Romance by Laura Korn. It's for men and women and will help your marriage and get you into the same bedroom. Amen. I'm gonna read the next question, and I'm gonna ask the Banfields to answer this one. Is marriage counseling a bad thing? Have you, as pastors, ever undergone counseling in your own marriage? How have you dealt with this with the big issues?
So, I want you to know that my wife has the answer for every question here. She is an expert. We have not ever went to marriage counseling. So she has an answer.
No, we've never gone to counseling. But I think that in a relationship, you're dealing with emotions. And I have a friend who went in the counselor. And, you know, you can learn from other people's mistakes.
Absolutely.
And they went to a counselor. And they said, you can't be happy in your marriage if you're not happy in yourself. Do what makes you happy. The choices she made to make herself happy actually sabotaged her relationship. After witnessing that, I thought, I'm not ever going to put myself in a position of having bad counsel. So the best thing you can do is just do biblical counseling. You know, prayer, you can ask God, don't go to your friends, don't go to your neighbors, don't go to your mother. Sorry, Mom, if you're here. She's a smart woman. But at any rate, it's communication.
Yes.
You know, God says for communion, do this in remembrance of me. Why did you marry that person? What are you doing in remembrance of the relationship and the commitment you made for one another? It should be done on a daily basis, that you honor one another, you respect one another. And it goes back to treat the people the way you'd like to be treated. If you show kindness, you get kindness. If you show love, mercy, grace, you get them back. And the reward for a good marriage isn't a plaque. It isn't a big anniversary party. It's going home every day and knowing that you have a relationship that is in harmony and in unity, and there's peace. And who, after a stressful day at work, who doesn't want to go home and have peace in their relationship?
Amen.
So I can only say, just really good communication.
She's right. So, but I will tell you another point, and I addressed this a couple weeks ago with someone, because Pastor Spencer and Pastor Rhonda have a little bit of joking going on in their relationship. The man has to assess the woman that they marry. Okay? And so my wife would not tolerate any of that for 1 second. Okay? So our relationship is a little different than joking around continually or playing jokes on someone. Okay? And so we have to make an assessment of the woman we marry, of the type of person she is. And we have to make sure that our actions are always appropriate for the taste that she has.
Amen. Now, I will say there are times in your relationship that you've tried to work through that and you come to a stalemate. At His Tabernacle, we do not offer counseling. We offer what's called biblical life management. The Word of God will help you through. And you can sit with one of the pastors, and they will give you biblical principles. If you don't apply the biblical principles, don't complain if it's not going to work. Amen. Amen. So if you come to a stalemate and you just need, sometimes you need maintenance mode. Sometimes you've just come from a real broken background, and honestly, you're just trying to figure out what hand is right, what hand is left. We have biblical life management available for you. And honestly, if it goes beyond that, we will send you to a professional counselor. And I thank God in this house, we have a professional counselor, and that's called Inner Light Counseling. And Sister Macer, she is a born-again, Holy Ghost-filled counselor right down in Horseheads. And if it's over our head and you need more depth help, we'll send you there. But I believe my wife and I have never been to counseling. We've been combative, where she's beat me and stabbed me. And
communication is absolutely the answer to that. You have to take time to communicate through those issues.
Amen. Amen? The next question is a hot one. There's been infidelity in my marriage for 25 years now. Am I compelled to stay? That's a good question, isn't it? If you grew up in the old days, you were considered you had to stay no matter what. There are two main reasons for divorce. One, adultery. Two, your unsaved spouse puts you out. Those are the two biblical reasons.
And the adultery one is Matthew 19:9 is the scripture reference for that.
And then, you tripped me.
The two reasons.
Thank you. And then the last one we always talk about is abuse. Now, if you are physically being abused, we encourage you to step out of the marriage, and prayerfully that person can get counseling to get healthy. If you are physically being abused, you are not to stay in that relationship. I want to make sure that's clear. There are a lot of people that are being beat over the years, and they grew up old school, and they stay literally being physically beaten by their spouse on a constant basis. And that's not the will of God. God did not call you to be in a relationship where you're being physically abused. Amen? So are you expected to stay in that relationship? If your spouse commits adultery, biblically you have the right to divorce them.
But.
I'll let you handle the rest since you want to throw the butt in.
It's your answer, but forgiveness is powerful. And if both parties are willing, it can be overcome and restored. And we've seen that so many times. But will you go back to answering 25 years?
I think we're going to need counseling after this preaching message. If somebody's committing adultery 25 years in your marriage, there is not just an adultery issue. There is a moral, deep issue in that person. If you are remaining in that relationship after they've been committing adultery for 25 years, you too have an issue. And that is, you have found it to be okay to be used and abused. If a person is committing adultery for 25 years, you should not continue to stay with them. It's not often that you'll hear a pastor say that you should divorce them. In that situation, that person needs to be separated from, and they need to be changed. If they're not born again, if they are born again, I want you to know they're not. Because you cannot commit adultery for 25 years and say you're going to heaven. Amen. Amen. The Bible says the adulterer shall not go to heaven. So the Bible says. So what happens is this. If you are living in the state of adultery for 25 years, you are not right. And if you are married to that person, you are not biblically constrained to stay in that relationship. Amen. If your spouse commits adultery once, you are still not restrained to stay in that relationship. But we would encourage you to work it through, for forgiveness makes a bond that is very powerful. And I've seen so many relationships where somebody's committed adultery and it was stupid, but there was genuine repentance and that marriage was restored, and not just restored, was stronger than ever before. But perpetual adultery is something that you should never tolerate. Anybody want to add? We still have 2 minutes and 20 seconds.
Thanks. I think I can get it all in that time. So in Matthew 5:32, unfaithfulness implies a sexual immoral lifestyle. Just like your lifestyle with Christ in one respect, that is a lifestyle for that person. And it's not going to just change tomorrow. It's going to need a lot of work to change that if it's been going on for 25 years. And if it's only a first situation of adultery, then it's recommended that you forgive, reconcile, and restore that relationship. You got to give it a chance. Everybody makes mistakes, and I know it's grieving and it's hard on the other party. I mean, it's terrible hard for them. But you know, do you just throw it all up? What does God say in Genesis? Get it here.
While he's doing that, I want to say that when you've committed adultery, trust has been breached. And if you are going to restore that marriage, it takes at least a year to regain that trust. So that's something that you have to be prepared for, that for a whole year that you're going to have to learn to regain that trust. It's called the trust bank. You've drained that trust bank in one moment of time. You might have been married 25, 30 years, and you committed adultery. You've drained your trust bank of 25 years. to regain that, a minimum of a year to start rebuilding.
So in Genesis 2:24, for this reason a man will have leave his father and mother and be united with his wife, and they will become one flesh. They take responsibility for each other's welfare. And then you love your spouse above all others. And then one flesh is intimacy and commitment of sexual union. And so if you keep that commitment in the very beginning when you get married, there should be no reason that you deviate from it unless you want to deviate from it. So it's a choice that you make. And so it's a choice in the very beginning, which we're going to talk about a little bit later on those people that are not married, that have questions. So.
Next question. Is it okay to file for a divorce if your spouse is not living for the Lord and is not saved?
No, the Bible does not permit that. 1 Corinthians 7, 12 through 16 says, now I will speak to the rest of you, though I do not have a direct command from the Lord. If a fellow believer has a wife who is not a believer and she is willing to continue living with him, he must not leave her. And if a believing woman has a husband who is not a believer and he is willing to continue to live with her, she must not leave him. For the believing wife brings holiness to her marriage, and the believing husband brings holiness to his marriage. You know, on a personal note, we were raised in church comparable to one another, so it wasn't a big issue. He was Catholic, I was Episcopalian. But I just wasn't leaving church and feeling fulfilled. I felt like I was empty when I left. So I had to pursue a different relationship with the Lord. And Sundays were a precious day to us because he would work on weekends, I would work on weekends, and Sundays was really the only day we had as a family. So when I made the decision that I had to find God in a different place, I would go to church with my family, and then I would go to another church. It took 10 years before Craig realized that I wasn't going to change my mind. It put stress in our relationship. But I had to make that decision. And when it came down to what I think made him think twice about this, is like, listen, I'm going to die someday. And I'm going to stand before God. And I can't say I didn't go to church because you gave me a hard time. I have to be accountable for my actions. So as a result of that, he understood. Now, it still took time away from our family on Sundays, but it gave him an opportunity to understand. And I would come home, and I wouldn't beat him up with what I learned, but I would just present things to him. My gosh, Craig, I heard this today. I never knew that before. And open up the door gradually. You don't want to beat somebody up over it. You don't want to, you know, make them feel bad about themselves. It's not our job to condemn people. But it is a conviction that we all have to have for our personal eternity. And it's hard. I would have never left Craig. But I had to give him the opportunity to understand this is important to me. And I appreciate the fact that, you know, we'd have arguments. There's no doubt about it. It would create stress in our relationship. But the point is that I wasn't going to give up on something like God just to make my life easier.
That's really good. We also do have a group in our church for if you have an unsaved spouse.
Yes.
And if you're interested in that, we don't make it public, but if you're interested, you can go back to the information table and sign up for that, and we'll make sure that you get into that group. It is not a husband-wife bashing scenario. It is prayer, believing God, that your spouse will be born again, set free in Jesus' name.
I do want to just read the end of that scripture passage. I love it. 1 Corinthians 7:12 through 16. It says, how do you not know that your spouse will be won over to the Lord by your good actions? So the possibility is always there by your good actions that they will come to the Lord.
And he did.
Yeah?
He did. Praise the Lord. Here we go. Here's the next one. How do I allow my husband to lead even though he is not saved, and I'm concerned that his principles and values will not lead our family, especially our children, in the right direction? Pastor Rhonda.
We are to follow our husbands until it is the place of sin. Never follow your spouse into sin. But again, that respect and honor that you show could lead him to the Lord. I do want Chris to touch on this also, because she has. She's lived it. She's experienced it. We talked about this earlier.
I know. You can teach, you know, you don't have to throw the word of God around like it's some, I don't know, trophy or something, just because you know something they don't know. But you can present things in a manner, like if you, I don't know, I mean, this is a very broad question, it could be anything, but if you think your spouse is encouraging your child to do something that's not good judgment, you can share with them about, you know, we can't act on our emotions. We have to teach our kids to put thought into what they say and thought into what they do and let them use good judgment. You don't have to tell them that it's scriptural, but it is. There's a time to share that with them, but sometimes not in the when you're trying to teach your kids something. That's not the moment to bring out your Bible. And if there's somebody who doesn't believe in it, if you both believe in it, it absolutely is. But if you have somebody who doesn't believe in it, you can still teach them biblical principles without saying exactly the scripture and expecting them to. You know, when Craig and I, you know, we ran this with our daughters. It's like, you know, if somebody did anything to their daughter and they said, if they hit you, I expect you to hit them back. It's like, oh, wait. No, there's rules against it in school. You know, there were times when his counsel was very different than my counsel. And Jody's so on your side right now. But, I mean, you just have to... I didn't bring out the Bible and say that to Craig, but the point is you can still convey those biblical principles without making him feel like you're usurping their authority and teaching him something that goes against good principles. It's just good values and good principles.
There's a big part here, too, is that before you get married, the Bible says you should not be unequally yoked.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if you are looking for a spouse and you're dating somebody because you think they're cute, well, that's nice. But the problem is, if they're not on the same page where you are spiritually, you got issues coming. You do. You have issues coming. And it might not seem like issues now, but there will be issues later, especially when it comes time to raising your children. So I had a wife who was born again. The husband was not. The husband hated God because he got hurt in a church when he was a child. So they had already been married. She got saved. Her kids were young. She wanted to bring her kids to the house of God. Her husband wasn't against that. But what he started doing was he started telling the kid, hey, hang out with dad on Sunday morning. We'll go have fun together. And he pulled his child out of church completely. That kid no longer has served God. So you need to know there are going to be trials. But you are called to follow your husband to the point to where it goes to disobedience to the word of God. And then you must choose God over your husband.
And so I just want to add on that. This goes with the first question also that, you know, our children are going to take advantage of every situation they can that's going to benefit them. And so if they see discord and not agreement in the two of you, they're going to pick the better. And so when they do that, it actually drives a wedge in that relationship between the husband and the wife.
That's good.
That's very good.
The next one's a fun one. How do you address your spouse if you feel they're letting themselves go physically? Am I vain for wanting to remain physically attracted to my spouse?
Whew.
Jesus!
That's a hot one. Well, I will just say, I know. I just can't even answer this. My son wants to know why I can't answer this. I will just say from personal experience. Anytime we try to say something, and I'm not alone in this, so I'm just being the brave one in all of this. Is anytime I try to say something, or my husband would try to say something to me, it has an adverse effect. Actually quite the opposite effect of what we want to happen. So if you're trying to say something...
She'll come up and she'll say, how do I look in this dress? Do I go to hell or do I tell her the truth?
Oh, he tells me the truth. But again, I mean, like, We have a unique relationship. You have to assess what your wife is needing. You have to be careful, all right? We don't want anybody going home and getting
killed
today. But it is very difficult to actually bring up that topic, addressing it directly. One of the things Chris and I talked about is maybe suggesting for you, like, we want to go ride bikes. Can we go for a bike ride and make that a regular thing that we do? Or I'd love to go for a walk every night. And just encouraging that. I know with my husband, if he's going out to the kitchen and I hear the freezer drawer open.
Jesus.
I know he's getting ice cream.
Salad.
Which he shouldn't be having. And he knows that. And he's the one that says, I don't want to have this. But when I say something about it, oh, now he's just going to put 3 scoops in instead.
It's salad. Actually, you know, it's very interesting to me, and this is what I've seen over the years, that you let yourself go when you get married, and then if a divorce happens, you get thin. Isn't it interesting that if you got thin before you got divorced, that part might not have happened? Just a thought.
You know, I do think that first you have to determine if it's a medical reason. If there's a medical issue, that needs to be addressed.
I have a medical issue with ice cream.
You can't use excuses.
But you can lovingly do things. You can lovingly do things to try and motivate them. But let's face it, we're not all J-Lo's and A-Rods. And we can't have an unrealistic expectation of other people. Especially if you're not taking care of yourself. So I do think that in 1 Corinthians 6:19, it says, our body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. We honor God with our body. We are visual beings. We are attracted to things that look good. If I go in a bakery and there's a cake that's sitting there, it's all nicely put together and decorated, yay. And if the same exact cake is next to it, it's all falling apart. I'm going to want the cake that's all put together nicely, even though they're going to taste the exact same. It's just, we're visual people. We want things to look good. So I think that we need to take that into consideration, help to kindly motivate each other. But I think when we say we honor God with our body, I don't think it's just physical. I think it's your thoughts, your words, your deeds, your actions. We have to honor them in all ways. It's not, but right now, to address the physical, I do think that we can motivate one another and be kind. And you're right, it does create offense. If I say to Craig, you know, there's a lot of hidden calories in that salad dressing or sodium, he's dumping every piece of, and he's like licking it out, and it's like. So his approach is essential in how you do that.
I actually do ask this question in premarital counseling, and I ask this question, how much weight is your spouse allowed to gain before you say something? And I have them go home and talk about it because that's extremely important. That is a real topic. You know, my wife always has told me that I am, what's the word? Superficial. What's that?
Shallow.
I'm shallow. And so I said to her, I said, if I gained 300 pounds, would you still be attracted to me? And she said, no. I said, then you're shallow too. The fact is that we need to stay attractive to our husbands. Women, I don't know if you realize it, women are more stimulated by touch. Men are more stimulated by sight. And so staying, my aunt, and I'll end with this because we've gone a little bit longer on this one. My aunt, her and my uncle were married over 50 years. He never saw her without makeup on. He never saw her go to the bathroom. Every morning she was up before he was, Uncle Eddie and Aunt Shelby, she was up at 4 a.m., showered, makeup on, making breakfast before he got out of bed at 5.
She is a saint, let me tell you. But I do want to say one more thing. I know we're over time, but I think setting the example also is helpful. If we just do it for ourselves, like if we're out to eat and I'm able to say, no, I'm not going to have dessert, that's positive peer pressure in the right direction. So even setting the example.
This is for the single and unmarried. We are currently living together and have recently gotten saved. We do plan to get married sometime in the future, but it would be a financial issue if we had to get separate living conditions. So I'm going to handle this one quickly. This one's a very easy one. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4. Marriage is honorable among all, and the bed undefiled. But fornicators and adulterers God will judge. It is sin to have sex before marriage. If you are living together or having sex before you're married, it is a sin. That will not send you to heaven. That will send you away from heaven. Amen. And so if you are living together, you've gotten saved, you're already living together, what do you do? The immediate thing is you want to separate in different homes if you can. If it's a financial issue, then you have to at least separate bedrooms. And not meet in the middle. Amen. You're already living married. Get married.
Yes, get married.
I'll marry you in my office. I'll marry you here. I'll marry you at the lake. But I want a big wedding. Do the big wedding later if you want to do the big wedding later. But you want to be right before God before anything else. Who cares what anybody else says? What matters is what God says. So that's the thing. And ladies, if he's saying, if you love me, have sex with me, well, then tell him, if you really love me, then treat God's daughter right. Marry me. If she's good enough to bed, she's good enough to wed. Wow, my God. 1 Corinthians 7:9. Very good. If they cannot exercise self-control, let them marry. For it is better to marry than to burn with passion. So get married. You know, it's you're already living married if you're living together. Get married. And if you want a big wedding, do that later. But get married. Being right with God is more important than anything else.
Amen.
Amen. All right, here we go. We're going to keep moving. What are the top three things I should be looking for in a spouse?
They must love God more than they love you.
Yes.
Amen. Amen.
Well, he loves the Lord. Listen, you found him at the bar. Hello.
Yeah, could we add that? He loves God with his actions. Because everybody loves God. Everybody declares they love God. He loves God with his actions more than you. Pastor Bamfield, what's the next one?
Question?
No, three things.
Oh. One option is, too, is what is it going to be like in the future? Are you going to be best friends? Are you going to build a friendship together, a long friendship together? Are you going to do ministry together? What is the goal? And, you know, all of this stuff is going to come out in premarital counseling.
Yes.
Look at the character of the person,
too. Yeah. In the character of the person. You know, sometimes when you look at a person, what do you really see? You just see the outside, the shell, the beauty of the person.
Hot.
How many of us look at the heart of the person?
Right.
Which is crucial. You know, not all of us are like my wife thinks A-Rod is hot, okay? But that is not the case, all right? All of us at some point came from a certain area. It doesn't matter how old you are, what you look like. If you love God and you have a heart for God, and the woman or the man likes that in a person, then you should pursue that.
Right.
What are they like up until now? Like, how have they handled their finances? How are they treat their family members? How do they treat their friends?
Yes.
Find out their integrity. Find out their character. Because if they're lacking in that, that's their choice, and you can't fix that. That's something they have to fix. So you can't enter into a relationship with somebody who already doesn't meet your standard.
Right.
Which is God's standard.
I actually, in premarital counseling, I ask you, well, first question I ask you is, name me five things you hate about the other person. If you can't name me five, I don't marry you. One couple came and said, she's perfect. I said, dude, you're on drugs. Or you're in her bed. That's right. What's happened is, there's so many couples now, if they hold off for a month without sleeping together, that's huge. The issue is this, once you start doing eros, you stop building philia. You've got to build your filial love before you have eros. Amen. That's why God said don't have sex until you're married. Not because he's trying to cheat you of having fun, but because you stop communicating and all you're thinking about is jumping in bed. Amen. Thank you very much, because I know that's true, because I talk to so many of you. Glory to Jesus. And so if they can't name me five things, and somebody said, well, you know, they throw their underwear on the floor. I'm thinking, well, you shouldn't know that, number one. But number two, that's not an issue. You know what I mean? What I'm looking for with those five things, I'm looking for character issues. Because a character problem is different from a quirk. You don't marry somebody who has character issues that they haven't worked out before you say, I do. You can marry quirks because they're never going to change, and they only get worse. Like, I hate chewing. Don't chew popcorn in front of me. Don't chew ice in front of me. I'm going to restrain myself from jumping up and punching you in the face. Because that just does this to me. In fact, I was so mean for the first few years of my marriage. For the first few years of my marriage, when Rhonda ate popcorn, I'd make her go eat in the other room. So, that is, okay, let's move on. We've got Pastor Banfield.
Okay. I have one thing that I ask couples before they think about each other. And so it's very simple. And I had this issue years ago. I had the issue. So I always ask it now, is that when you talk to someone or you have a relationship with someone that you're building up to a point where you want to like each other, has that person ever lied to you or did not tell you the truth? That right there is a key.
Yes.
Of do you want to spend your time with someone, the rest of your time, with someone who doesn't tell you the truth or you can never trust? Ooh. And that's just a simple thing.
That's good. What advice do you give to people in their 30s and 40s that are not yet married, living a righteous life and not compromising impurity, but are not married? I'm getting discouraged. Yep. Make a list of what you're believing for a spouse. Prepare yourself in a way, because if you're prepared, God will have them prepared. So be prepared and do things that put yourself around godly singles. If you're not coming to awaken and you're single and you want to meet somebody, duh. What do you think you go to the bar for? It's not because you like beer. No one likes the taste of beer when you first taste beer. It's an acquired taste. It's gross. Yet you go to the bar, but you won't come to God's house. Come to God's house. Meet some good godly singles. Say amen or oh my. The next one is, when dating, is it wrong to kiss and show affection before marriage? What is the line boundary for being physical and intimate?
You should never be alone.
Amen. If you can be alone with them and not be sexually stimulated, they're not for you.
It's healthy to go out in groups or definitely dating in public setting. You're just setting yourself up for failure if you're being alone with the other person. And definitely if you're doing something that is stimulating, that is not a boundary that you want to even get close to.
Now, why do you think people French kiss?
Oh, all right. Okay. Anyways, so we're going to continue on. Set boundaries for yourself before you go out, before you start dating. Set boundaries, agree to boundaries.
It is stimulating sex.
Communicate.
Man, if you get an erection, you've gone too far.
Okay, so communicating those boundaries beforehand.
It's the truth.
So that there is accountability. If you don't set up boundaries, you're going to be crossing lines. So set up boundaries and communicate about them. The next question is,
pastor cross the line?
Pastor
Banfield.
I'm
telling the truth. Is it not the truth? Come on now. You start French kissing, everything gets happy, and now you're saying, oh, I don't know how I'm going to restrain myself. Listen, second base is a sin.
Okay.
Third base, baby, you gone. Fourth base, baby, come on now. If a man looks upon a woman to lust, he's already committed adultery in his heart.
Okay. So now we're going to enter into the divorce section. And Pastor Banfield, question one, we'll let you go right through that.
And I think we already discussed most
yes,
of this.
We did.
What are the biblical standards for divorce?
Go ahead and
just say them. Adultery, unsafe spouse puts you out. It's never desire if you're being physically, emotionally, or sexually abused. Yeah, you get the next one. How do I deal with bitterness towards the opposite sex from a divorce?
Forgiveness.
I know, guys, I'm sorry. We are at 10:38. We have gone late. I know, we've just got to hustle.
Okay. So if you have a steak and it's a bad steak, are you never going to have steak again? I mean, if you're in a relationship that's a bad relationship, you can't hold what one person did against every other person in the world.
Amen.
Okay. Whoever the spot person is.
Go ahead, the next one. You read it, Chris. How soon?
How soon after divorce should I wait to start dating or remarry? Well, no one wants to be a rebound, and no healthy relationship can be made until you are healed from your first relationship or your first marriage. There is no magic time frame. Only when you become whole, emotionally and spiritually whole and healed. Marriage is two wholes coming together, not two broken halves.
Amen.
Amen.
How do I subconsciously not hold my current spouse accountable for the wounds from my previous spouse? Well, I guess the first answer to that is you need to be healed.
Yes.
You need to forgive. You need to forgive before, and you have to be accepting of that and understand what you're holding back. We have two classes here, No More Hurt and Healing Journey,
yep,
that they're long-term, okay? It's not something you're just going to be over with tomorrow. We understand that. We do have a program called Divorce Care, too. And so you need to know what the problem is that bothers you so much that you need to work on. You know, a lot of times people need to pray and have God give them the answers. You know, He's our huge,
yes,
huge man in the sky who's going to give us whatever we need, especially when we're sleeping or we're not ready for it. We could be driving, and He's going to tell us what we need to do and how we need to do it. Okay? And that is depending upon God.
Yeah, forgiveness is really the bottom line. Forgiveness isn't a one-time thing. Forgiveness is every time that comes up, choosing to forgive again so that we're not holding the next person accountable.
I hope you enjoyed this. It was very different. We've never done this before in 20 years of ministry, but I think that this was something that just needed to be talked about. And I thank you for your questions. A lot of your questions were not answered. There were many questions that came in. So pay attention to Facebook Live this week. We're going to be doing some of these other ones, and some of them are kind of edgy, so you'll be all right. Amen? And we're going to deal with the edgy ones coming as well. You know, we just want you to know this, that God loves you, and God has answers for your relationships, whether it's with your parents, whether it's with your family, whether it's with a spouse, whether it's just you being single. You want to do it God's way. God's way is always the best way. He has so much desire for you and I to be successful, but we can't be successful if we do it our way. Hasn't that been the problem from the beginning? So today, if you'll just bow your heads with me, I just want to pray with you real quick. Today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, that's the number one relationship that you've got to make sure is perfect. And that is knowing God, not knowing about God, but having a relationship with God. That's why Jesus came. The Bible says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised the dead, you shall be saved. Jesus wants you in a relationship with God. That only comes not through believing in God only, but receiving Christ and asking Him to be your Lord and Savior. So today, if you don't have a relationship that's healthy with God, you don't have a relationship that you know beyond a shadow of a doubt, if you died, you'd be with Him for eternity, and you want that relationship, I'd like you to slide your hand up right now. I want to lead you to the best friend you're ever going to have, the greatest relationship that will make your relationships the best. Is there anyone this morning that needs Jesus as their Savior? Not going to wait real long. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. Father, we thank You that Your Word is practical. We thank You that Your Word is truth. We thank You, God, that You handle real tough questions with real powerful answers. We thank You that, God, today we don't have to walk around meandering, barely just making it by in survival in our relationships. But, God, You've called us to thrive in them, to go to the next level in them. And, Lord, today in Jesus' name, we pray that You'll use us to bring our relationships to the next level, that, God, people will look at us and want You because of the relationships we have with each other. So, Lord, The Bible says they shall know us by our love. Teach us to love each other. Teach us to love ourselves. Teach us to honor, respect. Teach us, oh God, to have great marriages, great friends, great church, that God, your name would be glorified in our lives. In the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. The prayer team's coming around the front of the altar. If you're married and needs help, if you just need someone to pray with you, they'll pray with you. Believe God. Set God free in your relationships, and he'll do mighty things to bring blessing in Jesus' name.